Welcome back into the Lads Talking Footy podcast, and it's a special edition today. We've got an NBA special previewing the upcoming season. It's already back into the start of the season, and it's only just been the finals, it feels like.
So. I know, it's kind of crazy. It ends, and then we're talking about the draft, and then you lead into preseason, and the whole works with it, and then lo and behold, we're back starting the season again.
Love it. Oh, I do love it. I love my NBA footy. Yeah. I love being able to put on an 8 to 10 string multi every single day.
Oh, for sure. Well, talking about the off season, there were a few key trades that happened throughout it, and what we're just going to do is talk about three of those big blockbuster ones before we actually get into what we're talking through with the show itself. And the first one is on July 6th, so this is a while ago.
Yeah.
Chris Paul traded to the Warriors. So the Warriors receive Chris Paul. Wizards end up receiving Jordan Poole, Patrick Baldwin, Ryan Rollins, 2027 first-round pick, and a 2030 first-round pick, and cash considerations. Interesting move. I mean, we obviously had the beef between the Poole party and Draymond, and then now we're bringing in Chris Paul to the Warriors. As a Warriors fan, when I first saw it, I was like, what the hell?
It's kind of like bringing the enemy in, eh?
Yeah, a little bit. And you've got these two gun point guards and the rivalry that we've had between Steph and CP3 over the years, and now CP3's there. But I actually listened to Draymond's episode on Podcast P, and if you are a Warriors fan and you want to see how this might work, I highly recommend listening to it, because he sort of started to break down what Chris Paul might do with the second unit over there. And now Steve Kerr's put him in the starting lineup throughout preseason, so I'm not sure what the hell's going on, but what do you guys think of the actual trade itself?
Yeah, I wouldn't read too much into what Steve Kerr's doing with the lineups in the preseason. I think he's just trying to see how it works with putting different combinations out there, because I think once season starts, Chris Paul's going to be coming off the bench, and I think he's going to have a massive positive influence on that bench unit, because they've got younger guys with a lot of talent, like Kuminga, like Moody, like explosive young talent that he will be able to nurture and give his experience to helping them get the most potential out of their game, which we've seen him do similar things with like Ayton, similar things when he was in OKC for that brief period. So I think Chris Paul's actually going to be really positive for the second unit. I don't know if they did win the trade, because I'm a real big Jordan Poole fan.
Me too.
He kind of just had to go, and I think he's going to do big things in Washington. But Chris Paul, I think, will be a positive for this Golden State Warriors team if he doesn't ruffle a few feathers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Warriors, their first unit's going to be quite structured. You know, Steve Kerr's got a lot of multiplayer plays in the way that they run the ball. Then that second unit, you're always kind of relying on a little bit more just on the ball, just like live decision-making. Mm. And that's what Chris Paul's really good at, running off a pick and then just finding the open man or finding the spot to take his own shot. So I think, you know, if you've got a second unit, you're not relying on structured plays every time you're taking the ball down the court. He's going to be able to get you reliable points without having to worry about calling a play every single possession. So I think he's going to bring a lot of just relaxation when they're running that ball in that second unit. They don't have to continue worry about what they're going to do.
And Kuminga will be a good one off the bench, because Chris Paul is a really good at taking his time in the pick and roll, eyeing up his options, and then Kuminga is a great slasher and obviously a super athlete, real good aerial threat. So I'm expecting a lot of highlight lob plays from Chris Paul to Kuminga this season.
Me too. If I want to take you back to pre the Kevin Durant era and that up-tempo style that the Warriors would play, I think bringing in Chris Paul into this unit really unlocks that, and the way that we're going to see Steph and Klay move off the ball and have a gun point guard like Chris Paul facilitating it, and Draymond back to that moving screen that he does so well. So it will be interesting to see how they sort of implement it and if it is actually going to work or if they're going to have to look at moving on from there.
Old team, though.
I know. Yeah. It's now. September 27th, Bucks, they land Damian Lillard in a three-team trade. So the Bucks ended up receiving just Damian Lillard. The Blazers received DeAndre Ayton, Kamara, Drew Holiday, 2029 first-round pick, two first-round pick swaps with the Bucks in 2028 and 2030. As I was going through all of this, I started to see a lot of 2030 popping up and all of the picks and stuff. And I'm like, what's going on? Is there another Wimby coming through? and then the Suns, they received Grayson Allen, Keon Johnson, Nassir Little, and Yusuf Nurkic. So we'll get into the Holiday as he moves on in the next one that we talk about. But blockbuster trade, we're waiting for it to happen. And Damian Lillard doesn't end up on the Heat, doesn't end up on the Celtics, but he ends up with the Greek Freak and the names floating around in Freaky Time and Milwaukee. And I think that's what we're going to see.
Yeah, super Freaky Time. Greek Freaky Time.
Yeah.
cream Time.
Yeah, Greek Cream Freaky Time. No, that's enough. It's the blockbuster trade. It was kind of like a bit of a uneventful offseason up until this trade. It was always being teased to happen, and we thought it was going to be Miami or someone like that. We never expected Milwaukee. Well,
I kind of floated the idea a little bit in terms of just seeing the traction or the way the things that Giannis has been saying that the team needs to make these moves. I didn't expect it to be Drew. I sort of thought it might have been maybe Middleton or something, especially with Drew declaring his love for the Milwaukee.
City 24 Milwaukee hours earlier.
That's his reward.
Yeah. That's super exciting.
Super exciting, man. And I think all the parties came out with a pretty good haul here because I look at the main piece of this, Damian Lillard, and him going to Milwaukee, teaming up with Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's the pick and roll combination, man. That is going to be super deadly because Giannis as a role man is fucking so dangerous, so hard to stop, sets a great screen, such a giant athlete that he can catch lobs. And then Damian Lillard on the other side of that equation, unlimited range. Like he is a genuine sniper from 30 to 35 feet. So he's going to pull that defense out and he's going to create a whole lot of space for Giannis to, you know, operate in that pick and roll and get himself some easy buckets. And then also Damian Lillard, an underrated factor of his game is he's super fast. He can turn the corner real fast and he can get to the bucket. And then they've got good shooters on the outside, like your Chris Middletons, like your Pat Connaughton's. He's a good shooter.
Well,
Lopez for a big man. Portis can actually shoot it sometimes. So they've done really good in picking a superstar talent that marriages to Giannis's game perfectly. So, yeah, Milwaukee, big win for me.
Yeah, I mean, think about that pick and roll combo. Imagine you can't go under on that at all, you know, because Dame will just pull it as soon as you roll under. And then if you fight over that screen, Giannis is just going to yam it down or Dame's going to do the same thing. So, I mean, that pick and roll combination is going to be crazy. But it was so funny on the media day. There was like a moment where they're doing the team photo and Dame was like, damn, I never had a photo like this. And it's like him, Giannis, like Chris and whoever the fourth one was. But it's like,
Brooke.
Yeah. I'm so happy for Dame, bro, to finally have like, you know, I don't know if you call it a super team, but I mean, you know, to have
a strong team.
Yeah. To have
definite contender.
Some serious athletes around him instead of just being the absolute lone wolf superstar at the Blazers. I mean, it's tough, man, because like with the way the competition works now, you've got to team up with lots of players, and you really liked franchise players like Dame. You know, he was really committed, obviously, to try and do as best he could for the Blazers. But you know, eventually you've got to make moves to try and cement your legacy, and that's what he's trying to do here by going to.
It's bittersweet because I've always just and he's kind of like carried that flag himself as the trailblazers guy, the loyal guy, the guy who will never leave, but it just got to a point where the Trailblazers wanted to move on.
Yeah.
Damian Lillard is getting a little older. He wants to, you know, put himself in the best opportunity to win titles. And it just was probably the perfect time to pull the trigger. But still sad, man, because I just wanted to see him there. Like, he was kind of like the last hope for a guy that would stay in one city for his whole career. Steph Curry's obviously still there. But
and bring a championship there, just straight through just the loyalty for the organization. Yeah. In terms of his return to Portland, it is going to be very interesting because I'm not sure if you guys listened to the song he dropped after he left, but he was calling out a few of the unloyal Portland fans. So he speaks the truth, and it's going to be interesting to see his first game back there.
Poor Jimmy, though.
Yeah.
I feel bad for my boy Jimmy. He
turned him inside out on media day. Celtics, they acquired Drew Holiday in a trade with the Blazers shortly after this. So there was a lot of noise on whether it was going to be the Celtics or the Clippers, but the Celtics ended up getting the guy. So they received Drew Holiday. The Blazers, they received Malcolm Brogdon, Robert Williams III, a 2024 first round pick, and then next Wemby 2023, they've got the 2029 first round pick.
Okay.
So I've loaded that one up there. Big move for the Celtics. They obviously lost Marcus Smart. Well, didn't lose him. They traded him away in
no loss there.
Earlier on. So
really? They get him,
I don't like him, eh?
Oh, damn.
I like him. But they get an upgrade nonetheless at the point guard position. Someone that's been there and done that with Giannis and bringing that into that locker room with Tatum and with Jaylen Brown now. I think it was a shame that they lost Robert Williams III. I thought he was great for their team at the moment. So they're really hoping on the health of the unicorn over there and what he's going to bring this season. But the Celtics, they just went from I think it was the Bucks straight after the trade as title favorites, and then just all of a sudden, bang, they went straight back up there. So what did you guys think of that trade?
Yeah, it's another great trade. I think all the serious contenders who have made their big moves have made really good moves. And this rounds out the team perfectly. Jrue Holiday, for all accounts, is like the consummate pro, a perfect team player. And even on the court, he is a perfect player. Plays on both sides of the ball, good shooter, decent playmaker. And he's just another defensive piece in this team that is now a really well-rounded defense, because you got two lockdown guys. Well, kind of, they play kind of like a three-guard lineup, I'm imagining, next year. They've got Derek White and Jaylen Brown, who are going to be perimeter defenders. Jason Tatum has shown he can defend at a high level, especially in a playoff a couple years ago against Kevin Durant, doing a great job on him. And then Kristaps Porzingis, he's a bit slow of foot and he can get bullied in the pick and roll by quick guards, but he is a tall, long, 7'3", and he's a rim protector. He's always up there in like blocks per game. So,
and stretches the floor as well. Really
stretches
well.
The floor, yeah. So this is a really good move from the Celtics, and I tend to agree, man. This puts them right up there as title favorites.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where you may not have seen it coming, but as soon as it's announced, you're like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. You know, Jrue Holiday, like you said, the perfect basketball player. The fact that he's just so deadly on attack, but also just a really solid defender. Just, he fits into a team with really structured systems, with a lot of movement around the way they run the ball, which is what the Celtics love to do. So, I mean, yeah, I think he'll do really well there.
And it's the off the court stuff as well, because I believe he's a 3-time players player of the year or something.
Yeah.
So
he's just a good guy.
Yeah,
exactly. And what he's going to bring to that locker room. I mean, we saw Kyrie early on there with when they were early on in their careers, and you bring this guy in who's had that championship experience, which is what the Celtics are wanting to obviously
the complete opposite off the court.
Exactly. So yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how they handle it and how the season actually goes, because as we get into it, I've got some high expectations for the Celtics.
Yeah, same here.
Now, he calls himself Futures. He reckons he's got two hands on a globe, and he reckons he's predicted what's going to happen. And we've got Machu here with his NBA season predictions.
Yo, what's up? Machu here. First NBA MVP, I got Luka Doncic. I just feel like it's the NBA script is just going to have him winning, you know, his time. Rookie of the year, I reckon Scoot Henderson. I just rate him, so his dunks, his athleticism, and I fucking hate Victor Wembanyama and Chet Holmgren or whatever. Just tall, lanky, ugly. I don't like them. Sixth man of the year, I'll go Quickly from the Knicks. Defensive player of the year, I'm gonna go Marcus Smart, just because I rate him and feel bad for him and he's got that dog in him. Then I go most improved player. Fuck. I don't even know. Scotty Barnes. I don't know. Van Vliet's gone. He might just get a little bit more points. I don't know. NBA champs, Golden State Warriors, baby. All day. All day, baby. Curry's the GOAT.
Fuck, hopefully Scotty Barnes is most improved, baby. Legends for that much.
Didn't say that with a lot of conviction, did he?
No, he didn't. He was
a few hot takes in there as well.
some non-biased opinions as well in there.
Yeah. He's riding with the boy Marcus Smart.
Yeah, I'll worth a scrap about that.
Moving on. So the in-season tournament. For a few years now, the NBA has been talking about introducing a tournament to make the regular season games a bit more significant, considering the 82-game haul that we get throughout, and it sort of loses traction throughout. So there's a lot of confusion on what it actually is. I'm just going to explain it all before we sort of give our takes. And in the 2023-24 season, we'll see the introduction of the in-season tournament. The tournament has the conferences divided up into groups that will compete for what is called the NBA Cup. Each franchise will play a series of games to determine the 8 teams that will advance to the knockout stage, with the final 4 to play on a neutral ground in Las Vegas. The tournament counts towards the 82-game NBA season, and the only 2 teams that reach the final of this will play an 83-game season. There is no pause for the tournament throughout the season, and all 8 teams that advance to the knockout phases, the other 22 teams will continue the regular season as per. The tournament begins on November 3rd, and the games will be played on every Tuesday and Friday, so it'll be Wednesday and Saturday for us. And the group stages for the tournament are in pools, and they are as follows. So group 1 sees the 76ers, the Cavs, the Hawks, the Pacers, and the Pistons. Group two, we've got the Bucks, the Knicks, the Heat, the Wizards, the Hornets. And group three, we've got the Celtics, the Nets, the Raptors, the Bulls, and the Magic. So if you're following on this, what you've noticed is they are just divided up into your East and your West. Group four, we've got the Grizzlies, the Suns, the Lakers, the Jazz, the Blazers. Group five, we've got the Nuggets, the Clippers, the Pelicans, the Mavs, and the Rockets. Group six, we've got the Kings, the Warriors, the Timberwolves, the Thunder, and the Spurs. So eight teams will advance from the group play into the second stage of the tournament. Teams advancing will be the six group winners and two wildcard teams. The team from each conference with the best record in pool play that finished second in their respective group. So each team will advance, and the team that has the best record from each conference with the throughout will be the one that advances through. Players who are part of the winning team will each receive a prize of $500k each as the incentive. And the team that comes second will receive $200k each. It had been discussed that the winner of the tournament was guaranteed a playoff spot, but I'm glad they didn't end up going with that because that would have been real tricky. So do we like what the NBA is doing here before we get into discussing it a little bit more?
Yeah, I don't hate it as much as, now that I understand how it works, it's kind of just like a little World Cup within the season.
Yeah.
And it's only adding an extra game for those teams that actually advance deep into this tournament.
Yeah.
It is a little bit gimmicky, and it's just something to, you know, add to the attraction of NBA and obviously put something a little bit more on these regular season games.
Yeah.
But I don't hate it. After understanding what it is, I don't actually hate it that much.
And the fact that we're not just seeing the season stop to play this in-game tournament and then go back to it, the flow seems like it's going to be there. So you've only got the two games throughout the week that are actually counted towards the NBA tournament with others mixed in around it. So it's going to be interesting to see how teams then approach those games in terms of resting, and then which is what they're trying to avoid a little bit here.
Yeah, I don't understand, because if it's only the final that is additional to their season, like, how do they make that work? Because they won't know, obviously, already who's going to make it into the knockout stages. And then how do you sort out the rest of the schedule for the teams that don't make it?
The script. They've written it.
No, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you know,
I know. As we were going through, I started to sort of look at the schedule of it a little bit, and I think it'll just be jam-packed into that week in the terms that they'll just juggle it around, and then that's when we'll see the final. Because it's only the top eight teams and then the knockout, and then we reach the finals from there. So it'll just be however they reorganize that, and then we get the extra game, which is the 83rd in the season. How they balance it is going to be very interesting, and then all these guys are going to be flying from wherever they're going to Las Vegas to play this game and then rejoin the NBA season afterwards. So
it's dangerous giving them an extra trip to Vegas.
With 500K incentive.
Exactly. I would have liked for them to make it a little bit more interesting than just calling the NBA Cup, you know, like name it after a player, or, you know, like.
Oh, you know what would have been real controversial to, like, that sprinter and then all that other stuff that went on? Call it the NBA World Cup.
Ooh.
Oh, that actually would be, in terms of the takes and obviously the FIBA World Cup that we just had. And with the, that's actually a good idea.
Because that's what all of American sports love to do, you know. It's the World Series when they're talking about baseball, and it's only American teams.
They missed the mark on that.
Yeah, in the NBA World Cup would be perfect. Because they call themselves world champions, but they ain't.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to pick a winner from each side of the draw and then a winner overall, just to see if we can sort of predict it. So my first one that I've got coming out of the East side is I'm going the Celtics. I really like the group that they're in with the Nets, the Raptors, the Bulls, and the Magic. I think they easily sail through that one. And then obviously who they match up with there will be interesting, because I think you've got the Bucks coming out, and then it'll be interesting to see who comes out of group one with the Cavs. I'm sort of leaning there. In terms of the West side, I'm actually going to go the Grizzlies. I think they're going to make a lot of noise this season. In terms of the way they're actually going to approach it, I think Jar's going to hopefully sort himself out. And they've got a nice pull in terms of them, the Suns, the Lakers, the Jazz, and the Blazers. I think the Lakers are going to focus more on the championship side of it and not sort of focus too much on competing for it. If it's there, they'll take it. The Suns, I'm not sure how they're going to juggle load management throughout the year, but I feel like they could end up dropping a few things there. Group six as well for me was pretty stacked in terms of the Kings, the Warriors, the Timberwolves, the Thunder. It's going to be interesting to see actually who comes out of that, because those young teams are going to compete. So, yeah, for me, I've got the Celtics and I've got the Grizzlies coming out of it. And an overall winner, I'm going to take the Grizzlies on that side of it, because I just think they're going to be wanting that $500K in Vegas.
Yeah, well, hopefully he stays away from some guns.
Yeah, he'll be in the strip club throwing it up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've gone with, to come out of the Western side, I've actually gone with the Sacramento Kings. I believe their pool, like you said, is quite hard and they're quite young, so they're going to be fighting for something a little bit different and gimmicky like this in-season tournament. So I think given their pool, they're going to get out of it and they're going to compete more when it comes to that semi-final bracket than say the other teams they get through, which I could see it being like a Clippers or something like that, which they will probably rest Kawhi, rest Paul George when instead of letting them go to Vegas. Mm. So I could see the Sacramento Kings going through. And then I also agree with the Boston Celtics. Mm. I think they've got the easiest pull. They're going to come out. And then once it gets to the final, Boston Celtics versus Sacramento Kings, I reckon Sacramento is going to win it. It's going to be something, you know, for that city who has such good fans to sort of get behind and, you know, cheer for the Sacramento Kings, because they're not going to win the title, let's be honest, but they are a growing team that's going to, you know, commit to this sort of thing because they're quite young and they probably like going to Vegas.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take the Sacramento Kings to win the in-season tournament.
Nice. Yeah. See, my logic for picking this was, who's the team that's got plenty of depth, good rotation, and isn't going to be needing to do load management, like you said, like the Clippers. So actually, when I was thinking for the West, I picked the Warriors. Just with CP running that second unit, I thought that's a team that has a style of footy that suits just being consistent throughout the season, not having to take any rest. So I'm picking the Warriors coming out of the West. And then just like us, you boys, I picked Celtics as well. Yeah. I just think, you know, I didn't even look at the groups, but after seeing the groups, I was even more certain that they've probably got the best chance. And then overall, I'm thinking Celtics take it down.
Okay.
Nice. Before we move on to some hot takes, we've got Brad's predictions for the year.
What's up, guys? Here's my thoughts on the NBA end of season awards before the season starts. MVP, I've got Jason Tatum from the Celtics. I think Holiday and Porzingis additions are going to make that team a real tough out, and he's obviously the leader of that team on both sides. Rookie of the year, I've gone Victor Wembanyama. The guy's a freak, man, plain and simple. I've never seen anyone be able to do the things that he does on both ends of the floor. Very raw prospect, but yeah, I think he's got so much potential. Sixth man of the year, Emmanuel Quickley. He's just an ignition off the bench for the Knicks. And yeah, I don't really have too many other thoughts on that before the season. Defensive player and most improved player. I've actually taken two players here because those two awards are usually really tough to decide before the season starts. But I've gone Evan Mobley with my defensive player. And I've also got, as my dark horse, I've got Nick Claxton. I love the way he defends the paint. And I think the Brooklyn Nets are going to be sneaky good this year. So, and my most improved player, I've gone Jordan Poole. I think that's a pretty obvious choice at the moment. I expect him to be near the league leaders in scoring and having about 25 shots a game on that Wizards offense. And lastly, for my champs, I was looking through the teams, man, and the favorites weren't jumping out to me, which is pretty crazy. I actually landed in Los Angeles, believe it or not. And as a Clippers fan, it kind of pains me to say this, but I think the Lakers are going to take it out this year. I really like what they've done in the offseason. And yeah, I think this is probably either this season or the next season is probably the last few seasons we get in the peak bronze. So yeah, I think the Lakers take it out this season.
We're going to move on to some hot takes. So for me, I've got two. I've been greedy on this, and Ben Simmons will have a resurgence back into this league. I think he'll be an all-star and he'll help the Nets eventually reach the play-ins. I really like what I have seen from him without preseason. I really like, on the other side of that, what his teammates have been saying about him as well. And he's had, one, two, three seasons where he's been sorting out his back issues. Yeah. So surely he's been working on a bit more of a jump shot. That fadeaway looks nice, but it will be interesting to see how he goes. So Ben Simmons, I've got some high expectations. In fantasy leagues, I think I'm going to go out on a limb and take him there as well. But
he's a good, he's a stat stuffer, so he's good for, what do you call it? Category
league. So I think he's going to have a breakout season again and sort of reestablish why he is a top player in this league.
And he's looking good in preseason. Mm. He's moving really well. He's moving looser than he has in the last 3 years, obviously, because of the back. But I've got some big expectations for him too.
Yeah. What's your? I'll end on my other one just in case.
I've got a few, so I'll
I've just got one, and it's pretty ignorant, but I'll stand on it. I'll die on that hill. I will. Yeah, and that's that. Wembanyama's gonna be a bust. I've been pretty. I've been pretty accurate with picking these big stars and coming through it, and I was a very early call to say that Zion wasn't going to play in the season, wasn't going to do much, and you know when
I
he
think
was,
I do remember that
when he was big boy Zion, he didn't do anything, and everyone was you know beefing him up, but he was just beefing himself up.
He's looking good now though.
Oh yeah, yeah, he is now. But I'm telling you, bro, there's a difference between this men's league and what he's been playing. I honestly think once he gets into these full roster matchups, he's just too light. He's just doesn't have the maturity and the grown man strength to make himself available on the court. I think he's just going to get bullied around, and I don't think he's going to have the success that we've seen in the G League and in the preseason.
Okay, yeah, damn. Yeah. Between you and Machu, this is a Victor Wembanyama hate podcast.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to sort of jumping back in on that when we give our awards.
Yeah. Anyway.
Jordan, I rattle off one of your hot takes.
Yeah, okay, so I've got three, so hopefully I don't take your one.
That's right.
I've got my first hot take is that Zion Williamson will be traded to the New York Knicks.
Wow.
I can see the Pelicans.
I'd like that.
Yeah, I can see the Pelicans
the
maybe,
Duke boys?
You know, underachieving compared to where they want to in a really stacked West.
I really like that because they've sort of made it a little bit vocal that they're after Donovan, and I don't think they have the pieces to actually trade for him. But if they can take a punt and get Zion over there,
yeah,
and especially team him up with his old boy RJ Barrett as well, it'd be good to see those Duke guys.
Exactly, yeah, and that's what I was thinking too, the combinations there, because they've obviously gone out and got a whole bunch of Villanova boys as well, so they obviously like putting college players together. So I could see Zion ending up in New York. James Harden will end up on the Clippers. That's not so much a hot take because that's kind of been, you know, floated.
yeah,
but I think they will pull the trigger. That will happen, and Harden's even come out today saying that, you know, the relationship is pretty much unrepairable between him and Dan Morey and the 76ers. So
he referred it to a marriage as well in terms of trust not being there. He said he came to them saying that he wanted to be a Sixer for the rest of his career. And they didn't see that for him moving forward, which is kind of weird because if he's wanting to buy in, then you can sort of negotiate from there. But it'll be interesting because I do hope he ends up on that Clippers squad. But the backcourt of PG, Kawhi, and James Harden is just vicious, but it'll be interesting to see the moves that they have to make.
Yeah, so I think he'll end up there, and it'll be, if they don't give up Westbrook to get him, it'll be a reunion of that combination as well, for the third time on a third different team.
Yeah.
So,
wild.
Yeah, interesting stuff there. And then I think the Chicago Bulls are about to blow it up as well, and I'm going to say where the two main stars are going to go. I'm saying Zach LaVine will go to the Heat, and DeMar DeRozan, I'm going to say he probably ends up on the Hawks. But I've also got a little .. Or maybe the Lakers. I could see DeRozan maybe going to the Lakers.
He has said like that's where he wants to go.
Yeah.
If he did end up in Atlanta, I'd love to see Trae Young then ship back to Chicago and it's some sort of deal with that, because he's sort of expressed that he wants to move on as well. But I like that you brought up the Bulls blowing it up, because I've sort of got that later on in the seeding predictions. My other one as well... OKC, they'll be a playoff team this season. They won't be a play-in, or in my prediction, they will be a play-in, but I think they have the potential to be a genuine just playoff team. So you got Shai, Giddy, and Chet. It's a whack look, but it's something that could really work in the
league. Well, Shai's got the fits.
Yeah, he does.
He's making up for the rest of them.
Chet reckons he's got fits, but I'm not too sure. And then
he's
Giddy in between
fits,
that. And then you've obviously also got Jalen Williams on that as well, who's really starting to blossom. So I could see them potentially through the season making some sort of trade to actually bolster that roster a little bit more in terms of just getting in some sort of vet or something to pair with them to make a run for it. Do you have any more?
No, I'm good. I'm good. I just want to say that about the Thunder, though, that they probably need a forward of some sort, like a Patrick Williams or something like that would look really nice on that roster, because it's a lot of guards at the moment. It's a lot of ball handlers. So maybe just a forward.
And
work.
A skinny center. So. Yeah. All right, we're going to discuss seedings, 1 to 10 from East and West. We'll start off with the East. I'll go first. So I've got the Celtics in 1. I've got the Bucks in 2. I've got the Knicks in 3. Cavs in 4. The Heat in 5. I've got the Orlando Magic in 6. I've got the 76ers in 7, because I think we are going to see a trade and I'm not sure how that's going to look. I've got the Atlanta Hawks in 8th. I've got the Pacers in 9th and the Nets in 10th. I agree with you. I think the Bulls, they're going to make some trades throughout the season and blow this roster up. The Raptors, Spicy P, I think he's going to struggle a little bit again this season and just not enough firepower for them. And the Hornets, just to highlight a couple of teams that I would have potentially had in there, I think they've just got to sort out what the hell this organization is.
They've got enough going on.
Exactly. But in terms of what happens with Miles Bridges, if he does end up coming back, I do like that combination between him and LaMelo, but they've got to sort something out. But anyway.
Yeah, so my standings are fairly similar, to be honest. I've got number one, the Boston Celtics. I've got them getting 65 wins. Number two, Milwaukee Bucks with 56 wins. Number three, Cleveland Cavaliers with 53 wins. Number four, I've still got the Philadelphia 76ers with 50 wins because I do like Maxey. I do like the other pieces that they have, like Oubre and Melton.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to get some obviously pretty good pieces back from the Clippers. So I can see them still being pretty high in the standings. Number five, I've got the New York Knicks with 45 wins. Number six, I have the Miami Heat with 42 wins. So they take a step back in terms of wins, but I still think you can never ride out Eric Spoelstra and his coaching ability, and Jimmy Butler's just a dog. So they're probably going to get slowly worse and worse as they get older, but they're still going to be there or thereabouts as long as they got those two.
I don't mind that because they just snuck in to the play-ins in the last season and look at what they do. So seedings don't matter all the time.
Nah, not all the time. And they won't put a huge emphasis on the regular season, but they've got to make sure they get there though because it's getting pretty competitive out in the East. I've got seven, the Atlanta Hawks. I like that they've got Quinn Snyder. He's proven to be a pretty good coach. And then the team's just a little bit more, it makes sense on paper now that they've got rid of John Collins, who's more of like a center masquerading as a power forward. I mean, he does have some shooting ability, but he likes to catch lobs and great defender. So I think it's a more clear-cut team with Bay and Hunter in the forwards.
Yeah.
At number eight, I've got the Brooklyn Nets because I think they've got still a really stacked roster. I've got them getting 39 wins. I like that they've got Simmons. Bridges is going to take another jump. At number nine, I've got the Indiana Pacers with 39 wins. They've added some nice pieces. Bruce Brown is going to be good in that small forward position. Obi Toppin is a lob catcher, and Halliburton's one of the best passers in the league. So I like what they're doing there, a young team on the rise. Number 10, I've got the Orlando Magic. I think they are about to take a jump as well. Their team is stacked with young talent. The only thing is, it is a lot of young talent. Yeah. So it's still yet to be determined how far they can actually go. I've got a question mark over Jonathan Isaac as well. If he comes into this team, they are going to be quite a problem in the Eastern Conference. So the next five, I have Raptors 11, Wizards 12, Bulls 13, Pistons 14, and Hornets 15. Yeah, I think the Raptors are similar to the Bulls in the fact that they're going to trade Anunoby and maybe some others. And it's going to be kind of like a see what we've got with Scottie Barnes and some of our other young pieces and not really fully commit to trying to make it in the playoffs. Washington Wizards, they're going to be fun. They're going to score a lot of points, but they're not ready just yet. Detroit Pistons will improve. I've got them getting 29 wins, which is up from 17 last year, but still just not ready. You know, it's still a young team. And Charlotte Hornets, I've got them coming last because it's just a bit of a mess at the moment. I could see there being trades for Hayward and Rozier.
Yep.
And yeah, they've got some interesting characters in Kai Jones and Miles Bridges at the moment.
Well,
so they
don't have interesting characters in there anymore.
Well, exactly.
So
yeah.
He got traded to free agency real quick.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I think we've all got real similar rankings. There's the top elite. I've got a little bit different to you guys, but, you know, there's the top four, which are pretty consistent, and then that middle group is all the same names. But starting from 10, I've got the Bulls. If they don't blow things up completely, I think they still have enough talent to make it through. Raptors as well, same situation as the Bulls. If they don't trade or if they still manage to maintain the quality of their season through trades, then they'll be all right. Because just like the Heat, they've got a fantastic coach. Eight, I got Nets. Just like JT said, yeah, they've got some good pieces, and I think they'll do a lot better than what they've done in the last year. Seven, Hawks. Six, Knicks. Five, 76ers. Four, Miami Heat. I think they're going to do well. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I mean, yeah, like you said, they only just made it in through the play-ins, but I'm picking that they'll have a good season this year, and it's a little bit of a biased pick as well, like the Heat. three, Cavs. Two, Celtics.
Yeah, a few biased picks,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Two, Celtics, and then one, Bucks.
Nice.
Okay, nice. Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll move out west. So in the fifth seed, I've actually got the Memphis Grizzlies. In second, I've got the Kings, the Nuggets in third, the Lakers in fourth, the Phoenix Suns in fifth, the Golden State Warriors in sixth. I've got the Dallas Mavericks in seventh. I've got the OKC Thunder in 8th. I've got the Clippers in 9th. And I've got the Pelicans in 10th. So the West is so tough. I don't think it was actually going to be as competitive this year as previous years, just from a glance over it. But as I was going through all of the picks, it was just like, who's actually going to drop?
You're looking at all the rosters, and like even the lower teams have started to get a bit stronger, eh?
Exactly. So for me, the Timberwolves, and he's the man, but the whole Gobert and Cat situation, it just doesn't work for me. I like that they've got Conley there. He's real nice and another good piece to this, but he I think Ant needs another dog in that backcourt and start going heavy back there and complement with Cat. Blazers, for me, they're actually really nice and they could slot in anywhere, but I'm just not sure if Scoot and Fernie and Brogdon can compete with that those top-level guys just yet. And as for the Spurs, I think they're going to be real interesting to watch this year, because if Wemby can stay healthy, he's going to do anything with this team and sort of where they actually come together. And you've got Pop, the old dog there, so he's going to be pulling the strings and figuring out what they do. But yeah, that's my West.
Okay, so my West is a little different to yours. Mm. I've got number one, the Los Angeles Lakers. I think they've made some huge additions to this team, and I think they're going to be really strong, and it's going to be a lot of fun in Los Angeles. I can see, you know, a lot of hype around the town. Well, there already is with LeBron James, but I can see some good success with them and getting 56 wins.
Can I just stop you there for, a second? Davis has come out as well and said he wants to play all 82 games.
So wow.
That's not happening.
Yeah. And I want to be the president of the United States.
Yeah. What have I missed some trades to the Lakers? Have they made moves?
Yeah, they've ended up getting Christian Wood, Gabe Vincent. They've also got some other good pieces that they've picked up. Jackson Hayes, I know, is coming off the bench. They've rounded it out nicely, and they already made a whole bunch of moves at the trade deadline last year to make it super strong.
Those guys, D'Lo at the head of the point. Mm. So that, like you said, they had all of that back end of last season, the guys that were already there, the experience in the playoffs, and now they get a whole year together. And Anthony Davis playing a full season, it's going to be interesting to see what they do.
Oh, stop the cap, Davis. Number two, I got the Denver Nuggets. They've actually gotten slightly less deep in their roster, but I mean, Nikola Jokic is, I'm going to say it, by far the best player in the world right now. I think he can carry their team to 55 wins, which I've got here. And then I'm actually going to, Brad will love this, I've actually got the Los Angeles Clippers at three. I think they're finally going to have a season where they can string some health together. I probably put the curse on them now, but I actually think they will stay healthy for the most part. They'll make a move for Harden, and you know, it's going to be pretty dangerous for them. So I reckon 53 wins for them. Number four, I got the Phoenix Suns. Good team. They will get slightly better, but it's just a weirdly constructed roster. There's no pure point guard. We're going to be expecting Booker and Beal to carry heavy playmaking loads, which they're more than capable of, but really it's just a three-headed monster of ISO ball. Mm. And I'm not too sure how good it's going to work to start off with. At number five, we've got the Memphis Grizzlies. I actually really like this team. I've just got them so low because Ja Morant is obviously going to miss the first 25 games.
That is true.
And they're still going to string together wins, but maybe just not enough to get them to that number two, number three spot. So I've got them 49 wins here. Number six, the Sacramento Kings. I think they're going to stay around the same place with 48 wins. Golden State Warriors, I've got at number seven with 47 wins. I think they're just getting a little older. I look at that team and I go, oh man, there's some young dogs out in the West now. I'm getting less confident with how far they're going to keep going into these playoffs and how many wins they're going to get. So I've got them 47 wins. Number eight, I've got Dallas Mavericks because I've actually like what they've done with their roster. They've actually picked up some good role players. Obviously, when Kyrie and Doncic first happened, they were just left with like a shell of a team, and that's why they struggled so much. But now they've got some good pieces. Grant Williams is there now. Derek Jones Jr., Rashawn Holmes, 45 wins for them. I've actually got Minnesota making it into the play-in spots. Number nine, 45 wins. They've got a good roster, and Naz Reid and Kyle Anderson coming off the bench are actually pretty solid. Number 10, Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah.
Still a young team. I really want to put them higher. I've got them here at 42 wins, but it's just still young, and it's a lot of just ball handlers, and they need to round it out with like a forward or something like that, like I said before. So I've got them at 10 because I am really high on this roster. And then the next five, New Orleans Pelicans 11, Houston Rockets 12, Portland Trailblazers 13, Utah Jazz 14, and San Antonio Spurs I have at 15. But all of these teams I have getting over 27 wins because the West is just so strong. The Pelicans, I've already said it before, I think they're going to struggle in a strong West and then pull the trigger on Zion, who's probably getting a little antsy himself, given it's like 6-7 years into his career. Houston Rockets, I think, are sneaky good. They've actually signed veterans in this offseason. They've got Jeff Green and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think they're actually Van Vliet, they're going to have a go. So I still don't think they'll make it, but I reckon they'll end up on like 37 wins pushing for that top 10 spot. Trailblazers, also another team that'll shock some people. Really young still, so I've got them down. Utah Jazz still trying to figure out their pieces. And then the Spurs, just too young, so they're going to have some growing pains. But yeah, that's a super stacked West, man. I wouldn't be surprised if I'm completely wrong.
Yeah, same.
No one's good in the West at the moment.
No, everyone's good in the West at the moment.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. But you know, like what Jar said, you know? No one's good. Yeah,
I'm not with the lingo.
Oh, right.
I'm close to 30 now.
You're old. I made a late audible change just to get the Timberwolves out of my predictions because I realize I hate them. specific players, but the team is irredeemable at this point. Anyway, coming in at 10, I've got the Thunder. 9, Pelicans. 8, Mavs. 7, Clippers. 6, Lakers. 5, Kings. 4, Suns. 3, Grizzlies, which was before I realized that they're going to be without Jar. So
yeah, I didn't take that into account.
And then 2, Warriors. And then 1, Nuggets, because like JT said, Jokic is the greatest player at the moment. And he is the one player in the whole competition who isn't that fussed about it all. It's crazy.
Not at all.
How has your life changed since you've been a world champion? Not at all.
This is like 8 months of just a chore for him.
I want to go home.
It's going to be interesting to see how that all rolls out. And just like rattling off all the predictions for her just gets me so pumped.
Can't wait to lose all my money. I mean,
every day.
All right, we're going to end on our season award predictions. So for the most valuable player this season, I'm picking Jason Tatum from the Boston Celtics. Who have you got, Jordan?
Yeah, for the MVP, I obviously had the Denver Nuggets up in number 2 in the West. So I'm going to say a huge part of that is Jokic because he stays healthy as well. Mm. So I'm going to say Nikola Jokic gets the MVP. And just to give you some odds on that, it's $5 on the TAB. So.
Simon?
Oh, MVP? Oh, sorry, I thought we were going through. MVP. I've got this one being a bit of a linchpin on the Bucks doing well, and I think this is his season to finally get his flowers after having a career of trying to, you know, put the whole team on his back. He's finally gotten to have some help, but he's going to show up. I'm giving Dame Lillard the MVP award.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good take.
That'll actually be good odds too.
That's what I was just trying to find. I'll see if it comes up. But yeah, move on.
We'll just carry on.
Yeah.
Rookie of the year. This year, I'm going to be taking Victor Wembanyama from the San Antonio Spurs. I was worried about his health, but I think if he is going to have a season where he is healthy, he's going to shine in the Spurs team. From what I've seen in terms of his play style already in the preseason, yes, he's got a like slender frame in that in terms of him getting bullied down on the block. But when he's up on the top, he's got ball handling. He can slash with the best of him. He can shoot the ball, and he's sort of a little bit of an underrated passer as well. So as long as he's not getting picked off by these small, nippy guards like the likes of Jrue Holiday, Marcus Smart, and just tormenting him, I think he is going to have an outstanding season. There's going to be waves, but yeah, Victor Wembanyama, I'm picking Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, and I'm going to agree with you there because I think Victor Wembanyama is set up for this award. Mm. Every other contender is in a position where like the team's quite good and they're competing, whereas Victor Wembanyama, this team is kind of just centered around him. He's going to get heavy minutes. Popper's going to know how to use him defensively, which he's going to shine the most in because I think that's where his biggest value is going to come, being 7'4" with like alien 8-foot long arms and just a good awareness of help defense and just defense in general. Great recovery ability when he does get beaten. He can sort of like do the blocks from behind. So I think Victor Wembanyama is going to get this award. It's not good odds, unlike the Damian Lillard MVP pick. It's $2.30. So he is the clear out-and-out favorite, but I think he is pretty much a lock to get that award.
Nice, yeah. So looking at the Damian Lillard MVP, it is $36 at the moment. So damn, that quite is good. Juicy.
That's worth the sprinkle.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm going with my boy Machu. I'm picking Scoot as the MVP. He's just a way cooler player. like you said, he's got mean dunks. The only thing that Victor's got going for him is he's the two-way player. You know, it's going to be much easier for him to win points in the rookie race by, you know, getting defensive stats up. So that's going to be the struggle for anybody else, is to try and, you know, perform at both ends. But I think in terms of who's going to be the best rookie to watch, I think Scoot's going to be the most exciting.
I'd agree with that. But I would also say Amen Thompson.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes on him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He is an absolute freak athlete. Might be one of the best athletes. Him and Shaedon Sharpe are probably the best athletes in the NBA at the moment.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Defensive player of the year, I'm going Jrue Holiday. So there's a few contenders around this one, but I'm going back to this guy because he's been added to the Celtics roster, and you've got Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown who are going to dominate the offensive side of it. And what's he going to be is just going to be facilitating to them, and he's just going to lock down on D throughout this whole season for them. So yeah, I like him to get this award.
Yeah, and fuck, he'll deserve it, man, because he's been right on the cusp of like defensive player of the year honors for a while now, and he definitely has the hands, the lockdown ability to win that. I've actually gone with Evan Mobley because I'm expecting the Cavs to take a little bit of a jump as they get a little bit older. And he is kind of like Wembanyama, but a little bit shorter, but he's just got a little bit more understanding of defense in the NBA now, and their team's going to be good, and I think he's going to be a big catalyst to that. And their defense is going to be higher than it should be because they've got two small guards, and he's going to get a lot of credit for that because he has got such long arms, and he can hold down both perimeter players and players in the post. So I've got Evan Mobley to get it at $7. But it's a pretty competitive race. Like, you got Jaren Jackson, who's going to be coming back. Anthony Davis, if he's really bout it and he's going to play 82 games, he is a definite contender. Never won that award as well, so he'll be up there. And then a guy you mentioned before who I reckon is a genuine contender, if he's really back, Ben Simmons is one of the best defenders in this league when he's on his game. So
yeah,
it's a competitive award, but I'm going with Evan Mobley.
Ben Simmons, $76 currently for defensive
player. Another sprinkle.
Yeah, but I'm going for a guy who's been traded and he's going to be a key piece of the team. He's going to get lots of minutes. He's going to provide a lot of defensive surety and security, and that's Drew Holiday. I think he's going to have a good season at the Celtics. I think he's going to make a lot of defensive stops. I mean, it's tough to pick a smaller player to get the award because the block numbers just aren't as big as these bigger guys. But I think Drew Holiday is going to have another fantastic season on the defensive end.
Yeah, yeah, and sure. They've shown they're willing to give it to guards again because Marcus Smart only won it 2 years ago. So
yeah, exactly. $23, by the way.
Nice.
Most improved player. This one's going to be a hell of an award this year. You've got a lot of guys in contention that are going to blow back up. I really like Jordan Poole, obviously, and the numbers that he's going to get. But for me, most improved player this season, I'm going Mikal Bridges from the Brooklyn Nets. He showed what he can do early on throughout that trade, and that he actually can be that guy. And he is going to have to be that guy this season. You've got Ben Simmons, who's going to be taking the defender. He can't shoot the ball from what we've seen. So the offensive load is going to run right through him. He's going to be that guy for the Nets moving forward. And yeah, I'm taking Mikal Bridges.
Yeah, Mikal Bridges. He showed glimpses of actual all-star talent last year. So yeah, he's going to take a jump given a full season as being the guy in the team if Ben Simmons, you know, doesn't take a whole lot of that load himself. But I've actually gone with the guy you mentioned first. I've gone with Jordan Poole because he had a bit of a down year. So I reckon this is going to work in his favor. I didn't see what he averaged last year, but I reckon it was about 21 points per game, right?
Yeah.
So I think this year he's going to actually jump up to 28 points per game, and he's going to be the focal point on offense, the main scorer in that Washington Wizards team. I don't think they're going to do too good, but they're going to have some games where they scare some people and they're going to score a lot of points. And I think he's going to get a lot of respect for that because he is a very exciting player as well. He's got crazy handles and crazy moves to get to the rim. I'm going Jordan Poole, and that's at $13.
Nice. Yeah, I've just had a look, and my player's not even in the TAB. This is how sneaky this pick
is. Hot take.
Yeah. So I'm picking somebody who doesn't have a huge scoring output, but has had I personally believe had a pretty terrible year last year and got into some weird altercations with his teammates, namely Jordan Poole. I'm picking Draymond Green to have a show out season.
Okay.
I think he's going to play well. I think without the annoyance of Jordan Poole in the team, with CP, who's going to be able to provide Draymond with a lot of looks as well, I think Draymond's going to be the guy to have a really good season and have a bigger part to play in the Warriors' success. So yeah, wait for that odds to come in because
I don't think it's coming. It'll be like $501 straight up.
I'm gonna sprinkle that.
Sixth man of the year, I'm going Caleb Martin. I think that Miami team's gonna be a lot more sort of in conjoint, and I like what he's gonna bring off the bench for them this year. And I think he's a guy that's going to be slept on, so that's who I'm going with for sixth man.
Yeah, and I've obviously predicted the Lakers to have a bit of success this year, and I think a guy who has been good wherever he goes and is a good stretch 4/5 is Christian Wood. So I've actually got him to win the sixth man of the year. I think he's going to come in combined with Anthony Davis and share minutes with him, and then also just with the second unit on his own, score a lot of points, be a very valuable part to this team that's going to be succeeding. And I've got him here at $23 to win the sixth man.
Nice. It's way too early to see, but I'm picking this man's going to have a sixth man season similar to the greatest sixth man of all time, and that's Lou Williams.
Ooh.
So I'm picking Chris Paul. I think he's just going to be the most, specifically because he's coming from playing full starting minutes at a different team to most likely going to have a consistent bench role. So I think he's going to be the biggest player to really shine as somebody who's going to own that six-man responsibility. And like we've talked about with the pieces around him, he's going to be the one that's just going to own that unit, whereas it, you know, in other teams it might get shared around. I think, yeah, Chris Paul's going to have a fantastic season.
Wow. Well, $18. We're meant to be the Warriors fans here. You've gone heavy Warriors.
Oh, I mean, yeah, much is rubbing off on me.
Is he?
Pause.
I have actually added in a coach of the year. I'm not sure if you guys have, but I've gone Mark Daigneault, the head coach for
Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it again. From the Oklahoma City Thunder. I think they're going to be a team that's going to be really well coached and play a really interesting style of footy this season, and they will make some waves like I've predicted. So I'm picking him to be coach of the year.
Yeah, I haven't really thought about it, but I'm just trying to go through my standings and think who would be a coach that
will take their team
to the most jump, and which I'm not too sure. I think maybe, I don't have a take for that just yet. Do you have anything, Simon?
I think I'm just looking at the odds, and I think the one team that's probably going to do a lot better, I don't know if it's going to be because of their coach, but in terms of the jump in standings, would be the Mavs. So maybe Jason Kidd's a good look in terms of getting the biggest
Especially
improvement.
Especially if he can get Kyrie and Lucas to work, I think any coach deserves coach of the year for that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so he's paying $14 at the moment.
Nice, maybe Darvin Ham just gets it just out of the success of his team and like gets a bit of credit for what he can do there. Yep. I also think I'm not sure if Mike Malone has won it before, but I think maybe it's just his time and he's due with a lesser roster than he had last year to take them to a similar point that they were in the regular season. So he's a good shout as well. I'll probably lock in Mike Malone.
Nice. Now what we're going to do is we'll predict who our the finals matchup and who's going to win the actual NBA season. So I'm going, we're going to get a throwback for it, and we're going to have the Boston Celtics up against the Los Angeles Lakers in the NBA Finals. The old Magic versus Bird, but this time we've got Jason Tatum up against LeBron. And the champs, I'm going the Boston Celtics. That team is super complete. If Porzingis manages to fulfill the potential and sort of just stretch that floor for them, Jason Tatum is an absolute dog. I'm expecting a huge season from him, and the Boston Celtics, they get it done.
Wow, I guess autistic minds think alike, because I actually have the Celtics and the Lakers facing each other in the finals as well. I think the Lakers are going to get there, but I also agree with you. The Boston Celtics are just so complete defensively, and then they're so dangerous offensively. Like, they're kind of like the Panthers at the moment, bro. They're just a complete team, both on offense and on defense. I'm going to back them to win this. To win, they're at $4.50. I really wanted to take a look at the Milwaukee Bucks, because I think if they can get it right, the two-man combination of Giannis and Damian Lillard can cut anyone to pieces. And I actually did have them originally penciled down before I kind of just did a bit more thinking at 4 this morning and thought, oh, nah, that Celtics team is crazy. And it's more likely that the Milwaukee Bucks will have success next year when they can kind of round out some more pieces, because the trade's still fairly new. They don't completely know what their team's going to look like. I think next year's for Milwaukee Bucks. This year, it's Boston Celtics.
Interesting. See, I am high on the Bucks. I think they're going to get it done. I think they come out top. I think Giannis is very motivated after falling short. I think that he's going to make sure that he does everything he can to get into the finals alongside Damian Lillard. I just think that two-piece combo is fantastic. But, I mean, you can't forget about the rest of the team. You know, they've got some really solid pieces around them. So I don't think it'll be a two-man show the whole season. I think the Bucks are going to do really well.
The thing that just held me back was they've got a new head coach, and I was watching some interviews of him this year.
It's a bit whack, eh?
He seems good. Like, he's a hard-nosed former NBA player himself, and I reckon he does blend in with the personalities of both Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo as like hard-working, hard-nosed players. I think that's going to work. It's just that the Celtics are so good this year. I think maybe next year is Milwaukee's time.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, we've seen a lot of success in the NRL competition with teams getting coached by previous players. So
yeah,
it could be the NBA season if you want to read into things, which we all love to do here. I am going to take – you guys have got the Lakers, and I am a huge LeBron guy. It would be nice to see him do it, but I just don't know, man. Like, there's some really solid teams above them in the standings from last year, which I'm looking at.
There's like 5 to 6 right answers, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I want to say the Warriors, but actually, I mean, my heart would love for me to pick the Lakers, and I think they're going to do it. I think we're going to get a Bucks-Lakers final, and I think the Bucks are going to get it done.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
And that is boosted odds, by the way, on the TAB, $4.50 up to $5.
So. Oh, well done. Okay, there you
jump on it. Well, that's our NBA special under wraps. So we'll revisit this at certain points throughout the season. It's a bit hard to get a gauge on it as we go through. But yeah, looking forward to how it all goes. The NBA, the in-season tournament for the NBA Cup or what could have been the World Cup final or whatever it was. And yeah, look forward to seeing how it all plays out.
How long do we got till it starts? Is it a week or two?
Should be about 2 weeks. End of October usually. Oh, so
fantastic.
It's creeping up on us. Is there any players that are kind of slept on that you're looking forward to seeing this year?
Desmond Bane. I think he's going to blow up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I already kind of mentioned mine. Amen Thompson. I reckon he's a super athlete, man. And I think there's going to be some showtime from him this year.
Yeah. Stephen Adams. He's going to have a fantastic season.
Oh, okay.
There he is.
Shout out the bro.
He's about to start shooting that three ball. I know he's been working on it. He's been talking about how he's been shooting that three in practice for years. Working on it. Yeah. Watch for the pick and pop. Stephen Adams.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, well. Enjoy the show and we'll catch you next time. Peace.
See you.